Welcome to Potmatic Podcast Introduction, Take 7. Here on the Potmatic Podcast, you can learn what it's like to not have a professional audio engineer on your staff, and what books, movies, and music you can check out, download, and look at, and stuff. And that, I'm from Pittsburgh at the library. What else can you do?
You can also find out about events going on here in the library. Author talks, movie nights, performances, multimedia extravaganzas.
Such as that awesome new music provided by Adam Dean. Did you hear that theme music? That music stretches me across the arc of time towards the infinite beat of the new year, beyond the infinite beat of corporeal death. Who's here today?
This is Jesse.
Crystal.
Amanda.
Bill.
And Karen.
And I'm Brian, and the Metro Prison Release Work Program is going fine.
And I just want to thank you. I really enjoyed your rocking New Year's Eve party this year. It was great.
And I think you have an event of your own to tell us about.
Yes. Come to the Nashville Public Library on January 19th at 6:15 p.m. to celebrate Edgar Allan Poe's birthday. And we're going to celebrate in grand style, because the Nashville Public Library proudly presents Nevermore, a one-man play starring Jeffrey Combs as Edgar Allan Poe. Jeffrey Combs, best known for his roles in Reanimator and From Beyond, well, Mr. Combs has also appeared in The Frighteners and three different recurring roles on the Star Trek franchise. Nevermore is directed by Stuart Gordon, who also directed Mr. Combs in Reanimator and From Beyond. Nevermore is part of a new series called Night at the Library. The reception starts at 6:15, and the play begins promptly at 7 p.m. on January 19th. It's free, and please note, there is no intermission. And I probably would advise to leave the kiddies at home.
But my son really liked Reanimator. Do you think he'll like this, too?
your poor child.
Okay, so last month we brought up ebooks and we're like, oh yeah, that's a whole show. So naturally, okay, that's going to be the show this time. Hopefully we can get a whole show out of that and doesn't drive into library dirt. Someone told me, and this is what kind of sparked this, someone told me that since they started reading books on their phone at their job, they can just sit and read. And then people think they're doing stuff, but really they're sitting and reading. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. That's like this big shift in the book world or work world, right? That they can sit and read books on their phone. That's hilarious. So what were you going to say?
Should I admit that was me that said that?
I was going to leave that.
Not at this job. It's at my other job.
I didn't know if your other job cared enough.
I mean, I'm not going to say who they are. but it's a place where if I sat down with a book, it would look weird. But like everybody's sitting around futzing with their phone, so they're just like, "Oh, Jesse's sending text messages or on Facebook, and nobody cares." But I really am reading, so subversive, right?
So who here like reads ebooks?
I have read them. I'm not reading any on the ebook right now, but I have and I enjoy it.
Crystal here. I read them on my iPhone, the OverDrive app.
This is Amanda. I've read them on our iPads that we have here at work, but I don't like it, so I asked Santa for a Kindle this year. And fingers crossed, it will be under my Christmas tree on Christmas morning.
Who's this Santa?
Santa.
You mean it happened already in the past?
I ask him, but...
Because it's January.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Time warp. Time
thank you, Time Warp Man. Yeah, I asked Santa and he brought me one for Christmas.
Oh, I think e-books are created by the Antichrist. So it'll have to be between you four.
Well, I'm hanging with Bill there. I've tried it. I just don't particularly care for it as a format. I like the print book. Go print book.
Amen.
Bro. So can I address that idea to start with, since they brought it up, that... I also was a troglodyte like you, a Luddite. I guess I meant Luddite, not troglodyte. But I guess
trilobite?
Troglodyte.
Troglodyte.
Let me go get my dictionary.
Yeah, I thought it was awful, but then, necessity made it so that I had to try it, and I really enjoyed it. It took some getting used to, And if it's not something that's comfortable, it's hard to, like, force yourself to get used to something. It's like the noise music that Brian listens to. You're like, I'm going to have to sit and listen to this for a minute before I can appreciate it. But, yeah, I like it. It's still awkward holding, like, a tablet computer in your hand and stuff like that, but it starts to feel more natural after you do it for a while.
I don't know if be like it's like getting used to noise music is the metaphor we want to go for. No, but like, no, listen, I mean, you'll like it. It's like this horrible Japanese noise CD.
Yeah.
Mario loves it, seriously.
It will give you ear damage and a migraine. Here you go.
Yeah. It's also just, I mean, you know, hands on the table, it's the future. You're going to have to get used to it eventually, right?
No.
No. I read ebooks on the e-ink screen. I mean, I'm like Amanda. Like, I just don't want to look at an LCD screen anymore.
Really?
And, I mean, I have had, out of professional curiosity, I mean, I have used and own a few of the e-ink readers, and I've read long books on them, and they're okay. I mean, now that they're so light and the page size is in such a way that it feels like you're reading a paperback.
I like you can change the font size, too, because I'm pretty blind, and it's nice that after a while you can kind of up the... I don't up them to, like, really big, like, third-grade crayon letters, but just to kick it up a little bit is nice.
I do not like e-ink, and I'll tell you why. I'm convenience of this app on my phone, you can switch to night mode, so you can lay in bed under the covers, and you're not disturbing anyone else, and it's low glare. Of course, I can't read in the sunlight, but I usually... not trying to read when I'm out in the sun. I'm doing something else.
I have trouble with regular books in the sunlight also, like just the glare off the white page.
Sure. But, you know, as Amanda said, change the font size. The bookmark function is great. You know, I don't have to flip the little corner of the page over anymore.
You're not supposed to do that.
Oops. I'm
never...
Right. I think I will always have cookbooks on my shelf. I enjoy looking at my cookbooks, and I don't think I'd ever want to read a cookbook as an ebook, nor...
Well, plus it's when you're cooking and you spill something on your cookbook, like I always do.
It's not good.
Then, yeah, it'd be a little bit more damaging on your phone.
Drop it in a tomato sauce or whatever.
Yeah.
Or art books, or children's picture books, which I'm a big fan of. I could not imagine reading those as ebooks. But I don't own a tablet or an actual e-reader. It's just a small little screen on my phone, so maybe I'd be more on board if I tried it.
I was going to say, with things like cookbooks and art books, I think that's where a tablet computer becomes awesome, right? Because if it's, I mean, the glass that they make now, like, it's not going to hurt it. You can spill sauce all over it. It's fine. You can swipe it off.
Let's try it.
You know, like...
Experiments.
I do a lot of cooking with my phone in my hand to throw in things in.
Because
I like, yeah, because it's awesome. I can look up a recipe on the internet, and while I'm grocery shopping, and I've got the recipe there.
Oh, that's
and
for then sure.
It's in my pocket when I get home, and I can still cook from it.
And it's like an art book, the picture, you can get a perfect reproduction, super high res. You know, you could zoom in to as close as you wanted to, right? It's like one step forward, like with art reference books. Now, of course, there is the whole idea of like, the art book as a work of art itself that sits on your shelf and you get down and look at it, right, Karen?
Yes, that's right.
So I mean, like, you know, also the idea of, like, the art book and the art in, like, the frame and, not the frame, but, you know, the spine and everything as a work of art, you lose that.
So. You do. You lose the cover, you lose the texture, you lose the unusual size. I don't know. I was very intrigued by e-readers when the Kindle first came out. I was very, very excited. I wanted to get one, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is so cool. But I realized that it wasn't going to work for me. I don't know. I've thought a lot about the print book versus the e-reader. And I really love seeing books. I love seeing them on shelves. I think it's neat when you go over to people's house and you get to see what they're reading, what's on their shelves. I love the texture. I love the size. I love it when we get a new book in and it's extra tiny. There's just something. I love the experience of getting to touch the book, the smell of the book. The texture of the page, it's just kind of lost when you're trying to read it on a screen.
I think for me that it will never be, and I'll never just have an e-reader. Like, I don't care if I'm the last person in the world. There are some books I want a tactile book in my hand. And I'm not sure, I don't even know if we as a society know yet what's going to, I mean, because what happens, you know, you get this book from Amazon on your Kindle, what happens in 20 years? I mean, we don't even know what technology is going to be like. It's, I mean, it changes so quickly anyway now, much less 20 years from now. So
after the apocalypse.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean.
Well, I mean, other than the obvious zombie apocalypse, right, which is obviously, you know, right around the corner, there is the whole idea of, like, digital rights management on books, right? This is a whole other issue, right? Is really primitive compared to digital rights management on other media. So when you buy a book, like 90% of all the ebooks that you buy, you're actually just renting mm-hmm. to view on another company's server. So
I think especially for with authors that either I have a series I already started with or that I just dearly love and I know I'm going to want to read them again, I'm still going to do print. Just because I want access to the books. I want access to one. I want to be able to just walk to my shelf and say, ooh, I want this one, as opposed to.
If I was someone that traveled a lot and I had to be, you know, out and about frequently, I would have an e-reader just for convenience of being able to have lots of books and not take up space mm-hmm. in my suitcase.
Yeah.
But.
Or, I mean, to tell you what's awesome, too, is, like, if you host a book club for a library and it's like, oh, I have a week to read this book. It's like you always can get a copy. Like mm-hmm. It used to be cheaper than the paperback or the hardback. Right now they've sort of price fixed, so it's yeah, kind of in between. But if you need it, you can go and buy it and download it to your device immediately, right? And then it's right there. But tell you what's funny, just on a tactical level, it's not good like when you want to like find a page. You still can't find a page as quick or your notes as quick as if you just had post-it notes and put post-it notes on the pages, which is funny.
Does the version you use, like, do the pages match up to the print version, like, for your book club? Where you can,
yes.
Because some people don't. Like, in my book club, a lot of the ladies don't that they can.
Yeah, they do. And actually, how it will work, it'll be, like, it'll take, like, 4 or 5 page turns, like, on my Nook, mm-hmm. you know, and then the actual the page number will actually stay the same. And then, you know, after 4 or 5 page turns, it will actually change. And sometimes, too, like where the page breaks at the end of the chapter, mm-hmm. like sometimes the page will break at weird sections in the ebook, so it matches with the. I don't think I've had one yet that was not the same. Up.
The Kindle app that I used on the tablet, it didn't have page numbers, it had percentages. You read.
That's what, yeah,
you've read
that's what I've
60% of the book or 75% of the book or. You've read 60% of the book and you have 90% of this chapter left, which is took some. I didn't really like that.
Yeah, that's good. Because I want to know how many pages I got.
Well, it's funny with the OverDrive app. If you're holding your phone like portrait, there's a certain page number, and if you turn it to landscape, it'll be like 100 more pages or something. And so,
well, I think that now that you mentioned OverDrive, I mean, it took me 2 years to figure out which e-reader I wanted Santa to bring me. And I think part of it was that Kindle and Amazon finally worked with OverDrive that you can download through the library to be functional and to actually, you know, try to get us content as opposed to know mine, you know, buy Kindle, download Kindle. So I think that now there's just so much more content available for any, really. I don't know of any kind of e-reader you can't get something for through OverDrive. So
sure. And most people, I would venture to say, have Kindles because almost every other commercial you see, mm-hmm. especially this time of year, is for the Kindle. So, you know, the whole country was saturated with
Well, I think they
Kindle.
Hit the market so early like they did with, like Apple did with the iPod. They sure. wanted an iPod for their music. And
right.
So you want a Kindle.
Yeah, and since you brought up the library thing, like on a Kindle, one of the things that will happen is you will get an advertisement to buy the book. So I just feel like I got to throw that out there.
It's not so much an advertisement, though. It's not. I mean, it just when your book
like
expires, it
to?
Says, like, your book has expired, you can purchase this Amazon now. It's so much less obtrusive than any other advertisement I deal with every second of the day and every other aspect of my life.
And some librarians are really mad about that.
I think those librarians just look for stuff to be angry about. And I know some of the librarians are talking about, like the blogs.
And Jesse stuff. Disagrees with them.
I don't disagree with them. They're just idiots. And I'm
just
not.
They're zombie fodder when the apocalypse comes. But the other thing, too, is Amazon then, of course, has marketing data about what you read from the library. And I think one of the things that librarians take pride in is that we really protect reader privacy. But I don't know if our patrons are aware of that or think about it that way. I mean, I know many paranoid people that won't even make a computer reservation with their library card because they're afraid we're spying on them. But, I mean, obviously.
But if you think, like, you use your library card number to access the Amazon thing. Overdrive has your library card number, but they don't know what your name is. Well, and Amazon gets your email address, but if you're, unless you're using your name as your email address, there's way, I mean, you, if you're really that concerned about privacy, you, there's ways of, you know, you would know how to get around it if that's what you want to do. If that's not such a big deal to you, I think.
Yes. I think, too, like, if you are a regular Amazon, if privacy matters to you, you probably wouldn't buy your books from Amazon because Amazon then figures out recommendations for you. Also, like, say, for instance, if you have one of the other e-readers that you have to, you would have to download books to Adobe Digital Editions and then plug into your device. I don't know what our Overdrive license here says. Maybe someone from the tech team could put this information in our show notes. That's so exciting. You know, what our Overdrive contract says, what Overdrive does with our data or what Adobe does with our data of what books you download. So if that's something that matters to you, I mean...
From what I can tell from being inside the Overdrive system for helping from helping patrons, they don't know names. They have library card numbers, but they don't know what those library card... It's just digits that tell them where the book has gone. They don't know the name that's attached to it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way that it's supposed to work, at least.
It's going to the zombie apocalypse.
Woohoo!
So all the people that don't like ebooks got fired, and now
now the robot overlords will tell us what's tickling their fancy.
Yeah.
You know you get eye cancer if you read those things.
I have terrible migraines. I smell IOD. Oh, okay. So Crystal, what's tickling your fancy?
All right, Tickling My Fancy is a new podcast from across the pond called The Readers. The hosts are Simon and Gav, and as of today, they've released their 11th podcast. If you start listening from the first episodes, they're a bit rambly, but keep going because they find their groove. Simon and Gav have great chemistry, and they riff at length on authors and books they're passionate about. To kind of give you an idea of the tone, the podcast is a little bit of like if Howard Moon and Vince Noir were bookish instead of into jazz and electropop. Side note, if you don't know Vince and Howard, please refer back to our January 2010 Popmatic podcast.
Oh, you want me to link to that? No, okay, I see.
So have you listened to that podcast as well?
I did listen to that podcast, and it sounded totally cool, but the one I listened to was about Margaret Atwood, and she's too snobby to admit she writes science fiction novels. And, like, in my world, that has been talked about so much that I couldn't make it through.
Right.
But, yeah, they definitely sounded like they were talking – they definitely sounded like they knew what they were talking about. It was the kind of podcast that I would listen to. But what I was going to say, since we were always talking about podcasts, the one – podcast that we talk about all the time on here, it was Marc Maron. And recently on Marc Maron, I hit a really good episode where I talked to Anthony Bourdain. And in typical, in like Marc Maron fashion, it was like, tell me about the time you were on heroin. What's your lowest point? Tell me about the time you got fired. He just gets it like that for an hour. And like Bourdain isn't shy about that kind of thing. But the reason I also bring that up is we just got Anthony Bourdain's Medium Raw in the new batch of Book Club in a Bag that you could check out. So I think it's probably the most. That was probably the most interesting off the wall book in the new batch. So we got five new book club in and bags at the thing, and Anthony Bourdain's Medium Raw is in there. So go for it.
Nice.
And Margaret Atwood. We got some Margaret Atwood in the book club in a bag too.
She's so snobby. She's snobby to say she's science fiction.
I think that's what it's about.
I'm just joking.
Yeah. We're stealing Amanda's fancy thunder here. So, what's tickling your fancy?
Well, Lev Grossman's not too snobby to write science fiction, and I actually picked up his book, The Magicians, here lately. And I had started it like a year ago on audio, and I made it about four tracks in. And I don't know if it was just where my head was at. I was just not feeling it. I thought this is stupid. I have no idea what's going on. And so I kind of chucked it back on the shelf and went about my life, and then here recently I picked it up again because The Magician's King, the sequel, just came out, and so I'm like, okay, we're going to give this baby another shot. And so I picked up the actual book for Bill and Karen because I don't want them to feel left out.
Thank you.
And it's really amazingly better than what I thought it would be. Like, you kind of get in, I mean, it's kind of, he claims it's not a parody of Harry Potter, and it's not really. I mean, it kind of is like an American twist on it. He does kind of mention Harry Potter in a couple spots, kind of making fun of it. But the basic premise is the main character kind of goes to this hidden magical school and learns magic, and then...
Library school.
Yeah, then rowdiness ensues, and patrons come in and bug him, but... I'm not done with it yet, so... And I think Jesse's read this. I think we've...
Yeah, I've read both of the books in the series.
Yeah, we've mentioned it before, and so don't wreck it for me, because I'm not quite there yet, but I really am enjoying it, so... Pick up Lev Grossman's The Magicians. You liked it, didn't you?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I'd love to read both of it.
Yeah.
Of them. And I read his other book you wrote before that.
The Codex.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I like his writing style. It's a little... There's a couple of things that are pretty rowdy in it that you wouldn't necessarily see Ron and Hermione do, but that's okay. It's good. It's interesting, so...
Wow. It's like if Harry Potter took place in a more real world, or if, like, Chronicles of Narnia wasn't so interested in talking about religion.
Mm-hmm. That's a good... Yeah. Okay, Bill, what's your tickle fancy?
Well, our ironies, let's talk about science fiction some more. I've recently come across a channel called the Science Channel, and there's this wonderful show, or I think it's wonderful, called Prophets of Science Fiction. It is both produced and hosted by Ridley Scott, who directed Alien and Blade Runner and Gladiator and Black Hawk Down, among many others. And in Prophets of Science Fiction, each show, an hour long, takes a particular writer and examines his or her career as a writer and the predictions they made, and just see how much have come true. Among the shows I've watched, Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein, which, by the way, I believe the entire episode is on YouTube, and you can look at it that way. H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds, and Philip K. Dick, who wrote Do Androids Dream, Electric Sheep, which Blade Runner was inspired. You can also watch this. Go to Comcast, or I think it's now called Infinity On Demand. Go to History and Nature, and you'll see Science there. Scroll down and see Science, and it's the show's there, and you can watch it at your leisure. So upcoming, I know they've got a show about Isaac Asimov, Arthur C. Clarke, and George Lucas. So highly recommend that show. And Karen, what's tickling your fancy?
I just want to tell Margaret Atwood. That's right, Margaret Atwood. Yeah. Prophets of Science Fiction.
Okay. Is she on the list? I haven't
been No, she hasn't been on the list.
She's been banned.
But Mary Shelley is, and she's cooler.
That's right.
I'm down with that. So what's going on, Karen?
All right. What's tickling my fancy for 2012 are fairy tales. The library has hundreds of books about fairy tales. They're located in the children's and adult nonfiction collections. I recently grabbed Favorite Fairy Tales by Hans Christian Andersen and included some of my childhood favorites, The Ugly Duckling, Thumbelina, The Princess and the Pea, The Nightingale, and one I had not read before, The Steadfast Tin Soldier. Filled with flowery language and illustration, this book was exactly what I needed to get myself in the mood for all of the fairy tale themed movies that are set to come out in 2012. We can look forward to Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, Mirror Mirror with Julia Roberts as the Evil Queen, Jack the Giant Killer, and Snow White and the Huntsman. Even the Frist Center for the Visual Arts has an exhibit called Fairy Tales, Monsters, and the Genetic Imagination, which will be showing February 24th through May 29th.
So what's your favorite fairy tale?
Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. I like Sleeping Beauty, I think. That's because it has good music.
It does have good music.
Mm-hmm.
I like Red Riding Hood.
Just because you want to wear the cape.
The Brothers Grimm version.
What about the one with Kiefer Sutherland and Reese Witherspoon? The Red Riding Hood adaptation?
There's two versions coming out.
I don't know anything about
that. They just did the one with...
The one where she's like
with
runaway teen...
Well, that's Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. Kiefer Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a yurt, and all my books are hand-painted manuscripts on, what's the pig skin they used to make books on?
Vellum with sheepskin.
There you go, vellum, right? It was also pig fetus skin, really good stuff.
That's the fancy stuff.
Yeah, that's the fancy stuff. Yeah, anyway, I mean, I'm just saying.
That's what I make my bacon
out of. That old book, right? It's beef jerky. You know what? Seriously, the awesome movie about fairy tales is Twilight of the Ice Nymphs by Guy Maddin, which is kind of like it's probably out of print on DVD. And it's a typical Guy Mad thing where it has a title and it sounds like porn, but it's not. It's just this awesome Guy Mad and mind screw, like, fairy tale weirdness. It's such a good movie. I've tried to get the library to buy it, but I think the DVD is genuinely out of print. So.
And I've got to pitch mine. Neil Jordan in the 80s, before The Crying Game, directed The Company of Wolves, which is his Freudian take on the Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah, that is a good one.
So is anyone watching the TV shows Once Upon a Time or Grimm?
Yes, please. Thank you. Definitely. Having probably, a lot of fun with Once Upon a Time. I haven't watched Grimm yet.
Saw the first episode and just haven't, just for some reason it comes on at a wrong time, just haven't started watching it.
I didn't care about watching it until I found out it was writers from Lost. So that got me to interest
in it. For Once Upon a Time?
Once Upon a Time.
I thought I saw previews for it, but I have not had time to
there
watch
it. There is even a throwout back to McCutcheon whiskey in one of the episodes, right? From Lost.
Right.
Okay.
We have no transition. If our audio engineer was here, he would be angry.
He could save us.
So live vote. Do you guys want me to talk about two actors that I think we'll probably see a lot of in 2012? Michael Fassbender or Daniel Craig? Live vote.
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig.
Michael.
I don't care.
Tiebreaker.
Oh, I didn't realize it was... I don't know anything about Michael Fassbender, so tell me about him, Brian.
So, all right, thank you. So, Michael Fassbender, he's in two movies that are out right now, and the one is The Dangerous Method, which we kind of just ended up talking about at the end of the show last month. And I got to thinking, you know what, I really want to see that movie, because he's playing, like, one of my childhood heroes, and it's directed by David Cronenberg, who's a cool...
Something about Carl Jung.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it is. It's the Carl Jung. And then who plays Freud is Viggo Mortensen. Is that how you say this?
Mortensen.
His name?
Mortensen.
Yeah. All we need is like Daniel Day-Lewis in there. He could be the holier-than-thou actor trio. I'm more self-righteous than you. But he's not in it. But Vincent Cassel is in it. You know, the French holier-than-thou actor is there. So it works out all good. And Keira Knightley. So I really want to see that movie. And he's also in Shame, which he did with Steve McQueen, who did Hunger. And the first movie that I saw...
And Bullet?
Yeah.
Different Steve McQueen.
And that's... Hunger was the first movie that I saw Michael Fassbender in, and he was intense in that movie. He played... I shouldn't be laughing. He played Bobby Sands, the Irish Republican Army prisoner who died in a hunger strike. And Hunger is about his time in prison and then his argument with the priest about whether the hunger strike was moral or not. That's like the whole second half of the movie is his argument with the priest. And then the third act is just him slowly starving to death.
So, hilarious light romantic comedy.
Exactly. It was like, it's like Bullet, only more dire.
Action scene.
And in that movie, like, he is so incredibly intense and just, wow. I think it probably sort of made his career. But it's funny to me, this is how my world works. I was like, well, yeah, that movie came out this year, right? I'm like, and I looked it up. It's like, no, that movie came out in 2008. It's been like 3 years. And like, my mind is just
That's
a blur. And I'm like, so what's he been in since then? Oh, X-Men First Class. He played the young Magneto. Oh, he was also in Jane Eyre. Oh, yeah. So he's kind of just been everywhere. And then what else is he? What's he has? I don't know if he has anything coming out. What were we going to say?
I was going to say, you know who's going to be hot this year is Will Smith. I hear he's doing big things. You're going to remember that kid. Since you're on top of your hot actors of the moment.
On top of 2008.
Well, this is the other movie I wanted to think of was Fish Tank, which everyone said was like the British Precious. It was another intense movie about a screwed up teenage girl. But he played like the evil teenage girl's, you know, messed up boyfriend. But in that movie, too, he was like evil, but also extremely hunky hot, right? And it's kind of...
You love bad boys.
You love bad boys, definitely. But then I'm thinking, like, in this movie Shame that's coming out, right, he plays like a sex creep. So it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's going one direction, and then he throws you a curveball, yeah. So he'll be good. So keep an eye out for Michael Fassbender. All those movies I mentioned, right, are actually... I guess I didn't see Jane Eyre, but all those other movies are actually really good, so...
So was it.
So there you go. You know, he's the man. And I'm so... I mean, he's been the man for, like, 15 years, and I'm like, hey, this podcast is pop culture. You might see him next year. But we're going to close. Jesse's going to give us some predictions.
Yeah, I feel silly even doing this. No.
Is it a bad setup?
No. I was thinking about what's going to happen next year, or this year, I guess, since it's already 2012, when you're listening to this. So, number one.
Didn't you go to Brian's party? Oh, you weren't invited.
I wasn't invited.
I don't remember Brian's party.
You forgot the strippers?
It was awesome.
Karen dancing on the table.
Wear gloves when you touch that old book.
All right. So, prediction number one. David Foster Wallace will become the notorious B.I.G. of literature, releasing 4 posthumous novels this year. Kesha will class up her act by writing a book of poetry a la Jewel, earning her the nickname the White Trash John Ashbery.
I wanted to be that.
It will be revealed that famous recluse Thomas Pynchon is really a pseudonym James Patterson uses for his less interesting work.
Okay, that makes sense.
Billy Collins will finally record his hip-hop album Horoscopes for My Dead Homies, featuring guest appearances from Lil Wayne and Taylor Swift.
I'm on the wait list for that one.
And hoping for one last attempt at late career success, Woody Allen will remake Annie Hall with Ashton Kutcher and Kim Kardashian, and it will make billions of dollars.
That's the one.
That's my prediction for 2012.
Happen. 2012 is going to be a great year.
Yes. All right. So on that note...